out and not following Pete. It's lovely to be here. Thank you for inviting us. Do I need to have the mic? I'm really bad on mics. I do need the mic, okay. I'm very bad on mics. And I'm always looking the other way, but I'll try. Yeah, this is my first collection, my debut collection, Out of the Ordinary. And it's been a long time coming. I've been working on it for years. It's a bit like with that program, I don't know if you watch where, you know, they have these grown-up children that won't go out of the house, and, you know, that they have to sort of shove them out. My poems are a bit like that, so now at least they're out there. It's called Out of the Ordinary, and because the poems are sort of composed out of the ordinary things in life, everyone's life. And a lot of it, there are a lot of poems in it about my mother. So I'm just going to start by reading two poems about her. The first one is called Miracle. You spend most afternoons on the living room couch, buried beneath a mound of coats. Home from school, I'd sit on a matching chair, watch your breath push against my father's Crombie, his old sports jacket, buttons rising and falling, rising and falling, while I prayed for you to open your eyes. Around five, you'd rise, unwind the long scarf worn to protect your hair, bring wan lips to life with a dab of lipstick, then sally forth to get something for tea, eggs or a piece of liver, waving and smiling as if you'd just risen from the dead. And I have this very modern way of finding my poems. I've just written them down here on this thing. By the way, it's wonderful. All those poems earlier with coral and brick and everything, it's amazing the imagination used. Congratulations. And I just thought they were fantastic. Okay, the second one is called Limbo. Visiting a colleen on the shores of Killary, a boggy patch of ground between land and sea, a cormorant's northward flight attracts my eye, returns me to a bridge over fast-flowing water, a bus at awkward angles, stuck, unable to move forwards or backwards. One by one, passengers alight, eager with advice. My mother and I stay put. Without warning, her face implodes. Oh, my babies, she cries, tears running down her face. On the far side of the glass, male voices rise. Between sobs, she reveals the secret of her firstborn, dead within an hour, spirited away in the middle of the night, buried God knows where. Go home and have another, she was told. A second child still born, a third who didn't make full term. The bus rights itself, navigates the narrow neck of the bridge. My mother glances at the parting waters, dries her eyes, and never mentions them again. Although I grew up, I'm from Dublin, I grew up in Dublin, but I was a Colchie. And I'm sure Cork people know what Dublin people are like about Colchies. So I was a Colchie, my family's Donegal. And I didn't have a very pleasant growing up. Anyway, this next couple of poems are poems about the experience, or at least some of it. I mean, it was contradictory, but you know, a lot of it was painful. This one's called Bob Trotter. Don't speak like Dublin children, my parents warned. Terrified, something alien might leech in. Missing G's, TH's pronounced D. Would undo all the things they skimmed for. Kids at school were not so easily fooled. They'd recognize a culture in their sleep. Go back to where you came from, I was told, and take your mammy with you when you go. To pass, I'd learn to scorn our country ways, penny pinching habits, lack of style. Feel shame is where we came from, how we spoke. Beyond the pale in that booming, bustling town. And the next one. Oh, my, all the kids in my row old call their mummy and daddy Ma, and we call them mummy and daddy, and we weren't allowed to say Ma in our house, And like that joke, you know the joke, what did he die of? He died of a Tuesday. Anyway, the girls on my street, and this is where the contradiction comes in a certain way. I envy the girls on my street, their slapdash mothers, cigarettes dangling, ash falling, while one or other bent to wipe a child's dirty face. A lick and promise. Nobody bothered with face cloths except us cushies. They didn't mean to be cruel, the girls in my street. It was only a bit of fun. Wasn't I asking for it? With my red hair, a heart open as a country road. I met Pete, the other half, in London, and then we came back to live here. Our daughter was born, and we came back to live here. And I had this image, you know, of this amazing place I'm going to live in, this fantastic view, and couldn't afford it. And so I ended up down this laneway with no view at all, and this is the poem. But, you know, things often turn out for the best. It's called Chosen. It's not what I had in mind, a land commission cottage hidden by trees, no view to speak of, nothing remarkable in the surroundings, no landmark to show visitors, bog and more bog, cows grazing the long acre, a tractor stalled, lanes that end up nowhere. In time, it revealed itself, asking little in return, an eye for detail, a quieting of the self. And the second poem, one of the things I noticed when I was there, or when I came back, was the way things were changing a lot. It was just by that time everyone was kind of knocking down the cottages and building all these new fancy houses with en suites and whatever else. And, you know, it's still going on, the changes in Turkey here, you can see it everywhere you go. And I suppose I just was trying to sort of say, well, maybe we should look at what we have, you know, before it's gone, and sort of try and protect it. In many ways, including the way we talk about coral reefs, etc. Anyway, it's called In Our Element. The old cottage is a shelter way. Roof sagging, windows blind with plastic. Among the shadows, a coach stand, Galway dresser. Somewhere in the gloom, a glint of tongs. Architect designed, the new house boasts dormer windows, ensuite bathrooms, each with power showers. A conservatory for growing plants indoors, double glazing to keep out wind and rain. Protected from the elements, we move about, attempt to get our bearings, know our place. But the rooms are unfamiliar, the hearth missing, and central heating doesn't throw out light. One of the reasons, as I said, we came home was because our daughter was born, and in a way we didn't want to bring her up in London, and so here's a little poem I wrote about her. It's called Kindling. And Kindling, well, also Kindling, for some my daughter actually learned German at school, and Kinder is the word for child in German, so it's just Kindling. I watch you from the window, a ball of energy in your stiff new uniform, feet dancing sparks by the gate. When the school bus arrives, you spring like a hare from the trap. Later, I set the fire, using old cinders, stacking them one by one into a small funeral pyre, crisscrossed with kindling you collected yesterday. Today, you are branching out. Now the tricky bit, not to overload. A coal too many, one extra stick could bring the whole thing down. The small flame curls. The urge to tamper is unbearable. Don't, I tell myself, don't. And then I'm going to read, I'm going to read a couple of poems, and these are, one of them, this one is called A Sum of a Life, and it's about a woman I knew, used to go down the country around Wicklow when we were young, and there was a woman down the road called Nellie, and Nellie had a lot of brothers, but she ran the farm. And I always thought, like, when she, well, I used to think when she grew up, she was actually a grown woman, but I used to think when she was older, she'd get the farm. And it was only later I realised, no, she wouldn't. One of the brothers would get the farm. And then I found out, like, there was thousands and thousands of Nellies all over Ireland. So this is called Some of a Life, and it's for all those Nellies. Nellie, we called her, rhyming it with belly as we ducked out of sight behind the gable wall. Fag dangling, she'd make a show of chasing us, cowed on decorating her men's cut-off wellies. Walk in a straight line, she'd warn, leading us past the tethered bull, and never look the beast in the eye. She loved sums, adding, subtracting, mental arithmetic. Ask me another, go on. I could do them till the cows come home. Until one day, maybe, dividing the number of brothers into the number of acres, Nellie discovered infinity. She stayed on her feet till the end, coughing her guts out in the small back bedroom, dying the week of her 50th birthday. At the funeral mass, the priest called her Ellen. All eyes swiveled towards the coffin. Who the hell was Ellen? Back at the house, the brothers laid on a spread, paying a young one from the next village to make tea, serve sandwiches. And the second one in that little, this one is called Brothers. This is one of the ones I'm shortlisted for the Hennessy. Brothers. They lived together all their lives, finishing off each other's sentences, bowls of leftover porridge. In their heyday, a pair of eligible bachelors, a source of endless speculation, romance. Wedded to the farm, they worked the hours God sent, letting the rosary slide once their mother passed, making do with a few mumbled Hail Marys, a pot of strong tea before mounting the stairs. A secret bound them. The eldest buggered, his brother watching the perpetrator swagger from the barn, the scorch of sobs within. What wasn't said filled the silence, each dreaming of revenge, although the man was dead, buried 30 years. The day before his 73rd birthday, the youngest keeled over, upending a milking stool as he went. Jesus, he cried out. Mary and Joseph, his brother, completed, bending to lower each eyelid. How am I doing time? I think I'm fine.
Okay, I just I thought you mentioned women screaming, and
these poems aren't exactly women screaming, but I just wanted to, it was Women's Day the other day, and also, so much violence against women, domestic violence. I want to read a couple of poems just to, acknowledge that, what's going on. And, anyway, this one's called Feeling the Cold. And I wrote this. This actually comes from a memory of something when I was young, which I didn't understand at the time. I'd convinced myself you didn't feel the cold out and about in t-shirts in all weathers. And the rest of us were knee-high in fur boots. I'd see you push the pram, bare-legged in sandals. You didn't seem to own a decent coat, bother much with bobble hats or scarves. It never dawned on me until late one night. To get a breath of air, I pulled the curtains, in time to see you running from your house, hair flying in nothing but a nightie. You hadn't even time to put on shoes. And the second one is not, hasn't been, oh, I have it, oh yeah. This is, okay, it's called Afterwards. Afterwards. Afterwards, I realized you never called me by my name. Always darling, sweetheart, love, pet. Poppish one time. When things went sour, the names changed. Slut, whore, cunt. There were bruises on bare skin. I thought we spoke the same language, lying to myself, hoping to save my marriage, my kids, my hopes, my dreams, myself. To others, you were the perfect gentleman, the good father, the great husband, the life and soul of the party. I was so lucky. In the end, it boiled down to words, yours against mine.
And let me see. Yeah, I'm okay still. I'm good enough for, I think I've got time for, okay, three more, I'll finish them. This one is called His World, and it's in memory of my brother, who's called Larry. He gets actually run gigs down here sometimes in Cork. Anyway, he died before his time. And this is a memory of him, His World. Apart from being into music, he was into birds. He was always talking birds. Gannets, fulmars, shags, pointing out the telltale white flash of the wheat ear, red beak and legs and chuffs, their distinctive call, a kestrel anchored to the sky. Once he convinced me to lie for hours in the harsh marram grass, waiting for Manx shearwaters to stream into Boffin, bodies skimming the ocean, wings blotting out light. There was always a pair of glasses round his neck, or resting on the dashboard. Although I love my brother, I envied him his freedom. That male prerogative to wander at will, and nothing more than the rumour of a stork blown off course. Like Icarus, he flew too close to the sun, died before his time. When the funeral mass was over, I asked for his binoculars. For months, they sat on the sideboard. When at last, I raised them to my eyes. All I could see was a blur. And so one last one for my mother. And this was also shortlisted for the Hennessy. And then one other. It's called Curtain Call. My mother sat in so many hospital waiting rooms, making a home among tattered magazines, piped music, listening for her name. Sometimes I went with her, saw the pleasure she took in those imperial summonses, picked at last. All her life, she had passed unnoticed, tending husband, children, washing sheets that grew thinner and thinner, as she herself grew wafer thin, wasting away in a hospital bed, waiting to be called. The day the consultant made his final prognosis, she opened her arms to him, sang, and I just think it's actually true about mothers, you know, even when they're dead, they inspire you. although we had a kind of mixed relationship, which is in some of the other poems. Okay, and this is the last one, and it's kind of a little bit about myself, and it's called Picking Blackberries. The rules are known by heart. No green ones, hard ones, stems to be removed. Along the way, we've learned to check for worms, incensed to find they choose the juiciest ones. The usual warnings ringing in our ears. Careful of the brambles, don't get stung. My brothers and I stalk out likely dens, badgering them as though we owned the world. All minds are on the prize. The first to fill a tin can scrape the saucepan. Even better, lick the wooden spoon. Amid a haze of flies, we reach and snatch. Whoop, as the first berry touches base. A sound that's not a sound as cans fill up. Most years, I won. Flattened against briars, I'd suffer thorns. Ignored, pulled threads, scratches on my legs. Bloody fingers were all the same to me. I was a girl with one eye on the future. Thank you.